Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. This question, very simple. We're getting a lot of these, so I'm just kind of paraphrasing the one question. Mark, out of the three quarterbacks that could be available to the Broncos, which one would you prefer? Fields, Jones, or Lance?
Fields.
I was going to say, wow, that was a very quick answer. Very authoritative. Thank you.
Maybe Lance.
Oh, geez. All right, go ahead. You going to start to waffle?
Probably.
Can you be definitive for me?
I can be definitive. I'd rather have Slater.
You want the tackle.
What a surprise. Yeah, I'd rather have the corner.
Sertan.
Yeah, or Horn.
Or Horn.
But, I mean, I would rather build the football team. But I know that that doesn't...
Okay, but that's not the question.
Okay.
Of the three, if they pick one, who do you hope it is?
If they pick one. Who do I hope it is? I hope it's, gosh, this is hard, Mike. You always do this to me. I hope it's, if they pick one of the three, I hope it's.
All right, I think we could fairly say eliminate Squishy Mac.
Yeah, Large Curd is not on my list.
Okay.
So
it's either Lance or Fields.
I'll go Lance.
Okay.
Big, strong, played in a pro style offense under center. More of what you're going to be as an offense. How about that?
You like him because he did play, even though it was North Dakota State, that he did play a pro style offense.
Correct.
So you go Lance ahead of Fields. Okay. See, if I had to pick one, it would be Fields. All the guy did throughout the course of the year was come in as the prohibitive favorite to be the number two can't miss quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
He had one lousy game against, was it Northwestern or
Northwestern,
Indiana?
Yeah.
Northwestern. And a shaky game against Indiana. Two games. In a Pac-10 season, unlike any season in the history of college football, with COVID tests,
right.
Shutdowns,
yep.
Uneven practice time, all that stuff, and we're going to hold two games against this guy. You kidding me?
And by the way,
meanwhile,
none of those games would have been played had it really not been for him.
Right.
Petitioning. You know, the Pac-10 or the Big Ten commissioners and everything else.
Yeah.
So.
Guy was a pure leader in getting college football to even be played in the Pac-10.
Maybe I should switch my pick.
Oh, hold on. So this is kind of what annoys me. All this guy does is go out and play really, really well at the highest level of college football. And we're poking holes in this guy. Meanwhile, Trey Lance hasn't played football in 2 years, save for one game. He's the prospect everyone's drooling over.
Okay.
Or Zach Wilson, who played at BYU and played, come on, to be fair. And I'm sorry, CSU, but let's be honest. He played a Mountain West caliber schedule.
Ooh, snap.
And this is the guy, Steve Adazio's not going to be happy with me. But this is the guy that is the can't miss prospect at number two. So
ultimate dudes.
In the case of Fields, yeah, I listen to guys like Tim Hasselbeck. I listen to guys that I respect like Joel Klatt, who really, really like this guy. I am not a believer in taking quarterbacks this high, but if they were to take one and it's Fields, I wouldn't hate it. The other thing true about Fields, I want to bring this up.
Yeah.
Fields revealed that he has epilepsy and he's been treating it, for the last several years and he has been able to manage it just fine. My family has had some history of epilepsy in it. And let me tell you something about it. That is, at that age, you're a teenager. That age, you have to be wise beyond your years, because you're not going to be the typical teenager. There's some things that you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to show an amazing amount of discipline mm-hmm. while you're taking epilepsy medicine. It shows to me a maturity that I think is way above average.
Yeah.
So when you take that into account, along with how he was very, very responsible for even having a college football season in the Big Ten this year, add in his play in games like the championship, the semifinal game against Clemson that we all saw. If they're going to take a quarterback, I don't want them to, but if they do and it's Justin Fields, I won't be hating the pick.
I don't know. You've almost, like, you kind of, that's why you're good at what you do. This is why you're the best. I always said, like, the best hosts in the world make you think and make you think about changing your own opinion. Like, there are very few people that have that ability to make you ponder something you thought and say, maybe I'm wrong. But all those factors, you're 100% right. The maturity level, the leadership, the playing hurt and tough, the level of competition, all those things, and the fact that you have won at that level, all those things lend themselves to that guy being the best, if he falls to you, the best potential player there.
By the way, to that texter who said he couldn't even beat out Haskins, Fields wasn't there yet. Fields transferred in from Georgia and played right away.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, it was Burrow that couldn't.
Burrow that couldn't cut it at Ohio State.
So who is that texter?
I don't know.
Come on, what are you talking about? What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Talk about.
Hold on. Let this train. Go ahead. All right, here we go. Paris, Munich, everybody got music. I always mix it up. I think it's New York, London, Paris, Munich.
Munich's last.
Yeah, but it starts with New York. I always want to start with London. New York, London, Paris, Munich.
Then I like the text who says, well, he sucked in the national championship game. Yes, Justin Fields did not play great in the national championship game. Of course, he had taken a tremendous shot in the semifinal.
He was playing with broken freaking ribs.
But you're right. He did not play great in the national championship. You know who didn't even play in the national championship game? Trey Lance. You know who else didn't even play in the national championship game? Trevor Lawrence. You know who didn't even play in the national championship game? Zach Wilson. I mean, really? Is that's where we're at. Justin Fields is out of play because he didn't play great against Alabama.
Why do you hate
one of the great college football teams of all time?
Let me ask you a question. Why do you hate Justin Fields?
I don't know. But this is the same person who says, yeah, Trey Lance can't miss.
I'm kind of with you, man. I think it's like I wouldn't be disappointed at all if they took Justin Fields. Not disappointed at all. So
no, it would. I wouldn't. I like the kid. I like the kid's story. I like the kid's background. I like the kid's intangibles.
You know what he's got? It's a great draft word, but we don't use it enough. Yeah, moxie. Guy's got moxie.
And here's the other thing. You know, I'm an unabashed. We both are. I'm an unabashed Klatt fan. I love my guy Joel Klatt.
Sure.
Yes. And his take on things. I listen to. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, sure. Absolutely.
In a industry in which it's really hard. You got a lot of people who just aren't qualified, who are making these concrete statements about, well, this guy can't play or this guy can play, book it. You know, and it's just like, okay, what are your credentials?
Right.
Who are you? Right. But one thing I'll say about Klatt, the guy has, first of all, he's played the position at a very high level. In college football, he was a terrific college football quarterback. He clearly puts in the work. Anybody who knows him knows he puts in the work.
Right.
And he has the added benefit of having worked like 10 Ohio State games over the last couple years. He's talked to Justin Fields. He's talked to Ryan Day. Okay, he in my mind is a very, very, I mean, like in the top 1%,
right,
of authorities out there when it comes to talking about somebody like Justin Fields. And so besides just the intangibles that we're talking about, the moxie and all those things, what about him as a quarterback? Well, you know, what he told me was, as athletically gifted as any QB I've been around. Okay, so, you know, for those right. saying you got to go get Trey Lance because he's a physical freak, well, as athletically gifted as any QB I've been around, very accurate to every spot on the field so he can make all the big boy throws.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hold on to the ball too long at times, but as Klatt says, it's not because he just locks on to the number one guy. It's because he holds the ball because he's big, strong, fast, and can make plays, bad plays, good. Which maybe explains why Mike Tannenbaum, who we had on last week, former NFL GM who's with ESPN, he says the best comparison to Fields, in his mind, is Cam Newton.
Because he's big, strong, and athletic?
Because he's big, strong, athletic, and maybe at times tries to make plays that he shouldn't make because he is so athletic, big, and strong.
The issue that I always had with Cam Newton was touch, accuracy, timing on the underneath stuff. People would always point to a deep throw, you know, like a deep post throw. See, wow, look at, like, it's one of the easiest throws in football. And by the way, you know, you just throw it to a spot, let your receiver run to it. But he did throw a good deep ball. It was the intermediate crossing stuff, the intermediate outs, you know, the intermediate, you know, deeper crosses that I just thought he was woefully inadequate. You know, dumping it off to running backs where you put it on the wrong shoulder. The guy's got to turn around, stop his feet. And the next thing you know, it's a 1 yard gain instead of a 6 yard gain. Like, those are the things that always drove me crazy. There's no question athletically, just the most gifted guy on the planet. But those were the things that drove me crazy. And I like to think that Fields has much better touch than that in that intermediate, that short to intermediate range throw, if that makes sense. So I would hope that that part would be better.
This is funny. The guy who says rock, scissors, paper is concerned about getting New York, London, Paris, Munich correct. Good point.
Yeah, well, it's important.
Yeah.
If we're going to sing pop music on this, if we're going to sing pop music, M-U-Z, see, it was like M-U-Z-I-K. If we're going to sing that on this show on a daily basis, one of the best things we've ever brought to the show.
Here's another one.
I want to get it right.
Playing hurt, dealing with COVID, playing against the best competition, playing at a high level, few practices, winning, no bad games. Mac Jones. You guys just listed attributes of Justin Fields that Mac Jones himself also did and won the national championship. Fair point. I'm not down on Mac Jones. I'm not down on Mac Jones because I still believe that his style of quarterbacking works in today's NFL. But, hey, I'm not a believer in taking any quarterback in the top 10. If I'm going to take a quarterback in the top 10, it's got to be somebody who at least I think can be multidimensional. Mac Jones, but if you're telling me I could take Mac Jones, you know, late in the first round or in the second round, great. You know who why I like Kyle Trask so much as my khaki pants, top khaki pants guy, is because if Kyle Trask played at Alabama, Kyle Trask would have done exactly what Mac Jones did, and Kyle Trask would be the guy that we'd be debating whether or not he goes number 3 to San Francisco, and he'd be the guy we'd be talking about going in the top 10. Mentioned Greg Cosell.
Mm-hmm.
He gave this breakdown of Kyle Trask.
Well, if you're in the group that likes Kyle Trask, then you know that, number one, he must be protected. He's not going to make plays off script. His arm is probably a little better than average. He does not have a big arm. He has a tendency to throw over his front foot, and you lose velocity when you do that. But he's an accurate passer. He knows where to go with the ball. He's a little bit plodding. Now, I don't know. Losing weight's not going to make him a great athlete, and it's not like he lost 20 pounds. But, I think he's another guy that, in a sense, is similar to Mac Jones. He's an efficient executor and ball distributor. You must protect him, and the offensive design must work. The question is, it comes down to percentages, Colin, is how many plays in a game do you believe have to be off script? Because let's say that it's two plays a game. Are you drafting a quarterback or are you evaluating a quarterback based on those two plays in a game? Or are you evaluating a quarterback based on his ability to throw the ball to the right receiver at the right time with the right kind of throw? How do you choose to evaluate a quarterback?
Like you're 70-30.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. How good are you? Like, here's one thing that, again, lends me to believe that Mac Jones has the potential to wind up in San Francisco. Because Kyle Shanahan is so good at structuring an offense, so good at structuring a running game, so good at taking that pressure off of his quarterback that he is not looking. Like, he is not looking to be off schedule. He's looking to be on schedule 85% of the time. And your off-schedule plays is just don't turn it over. Throw it away. We'll create an explosive somewhere down the road. Like that's that. And managing a game is never a bad thing. I always find it fascinating when people look at managing. He's a great game manager as a negative. That is never a negative thing. That's a big time positive.
So you're telling me that Kyle Trask is a 70% guy? Sign me up. That's a great point by Greg Cosell right there, because while we get enamored with the guys that can do stuff off platform, off schedule, how many times during the course of a game are you really asked to do that? Meanwhile, how many times during the course of a game are you asked as a quarterback to be in charge, keeping the offense in rhythm, getting the ball out quickly, mm-hmm. getting the ball out accurately, getting the ball to the right guy, avoiding big mistakes, being willing to just throw a ball into the ground at somebody's feet, live to fight another down, right. and avoid taking the big sack. That's why I bristle at the whole idea that, you know, the pure pocket quarterback is going out of vogue. It's not.
Well, it just,
and so if a guy,
it's college football isn't developing as many of them.
So if a guy like Mac Jones or Kyle Trask, okay, you have to protect him. Yeah. Guess what happens when you didn't protect Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl?
Right.
He scored 9 points. And he was running for his life. He scored 9 points. Greatest offense that we've seen in a while got shut down because they couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes, who's one of those off-schedule, off-platform type quarterbacks.
It comes down to, for me, Mike, risk-reward. Like, there's a lot of reward when you scramble around and you make plays. When you have a guy that can do that, there's a lot of reward, right? Big-time throw, you drop coverage, big-time crossing route, your guy puts it on him, and it's a touchdown. There's also a lot of risk. You're scrambling around. You run into a sack. Now you're behind the chains. You scramble around. You take off. You get hit by three guys. The next thing you know, you miss with a concussion or with a leg injury or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of risk. Does the risk outweigh the reward? And every team is different. I mean, come on. I've had many, many conversations with John Harbaugh. Says, man, I cringe every time we call a run play for number 8. But he does such a good job of not taking big time shots. He does occasionally, but their thought process on, and I'll just tell you, their thought process on Lamar Jackson is he is so good at avoiding people. He is so athletically gifted. He is so good at making people miss that they're saying he takes as many big hits as a drop back pure pocket guy. That's their feeling on him. So they're willing to roll the dice on it. But how many guys are Lamar Jackson? Last time I checked, there's one in the NFL.
Ryan in Missouri, I don't want a boring guy who can't carry a team when needed, i.e. Jones and Trask. No, thank you.
Yeah, Ryan in Missouri, he doesn't want a Tom Brady-style quarterback. He doesn't want a Peyton Manning-style quarterback. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want a Matt Ryan-style quarterback.
Right.
He doesn't want a Phillip Rivers-style quarterback.
Tiger is a stew out of me.
He doesn't want an Eli Manning-type quarterback. No, he wants something fun and exciting, like RG3 and Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
And Paxton Lynch.
Speaking of fun and exciting. Great athlete. Big, tall,
remember,
strong.
Remember?
Absolute hose.
Remember back to that special night in 2016 when the Broncos moved up and drafted Paxton Lynch, and immediately we were regaled with scouting reports of, oh, unbelievable athlete. Tall, big, strong, right. Mobile. Get out on the edge. Big arm, run Gary Kubiak's bootleg game. Perfect for it.
Yeah.
Athleticism. You talk about 70-30, this is the guy who can give you the 70 and the 30.
Oh.
Ah!
That's 100.
That's 100.
70-30.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so come on, Ryan in Missouri. Come on, Missouri. You're what is that? That's the show me state?
Yeah.
Come on, Ryan. Show me a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Come on, Ryan. Show me some whole milk.
Come on.
Quit throwing colored water over here. Cloudy water. And calling it milk. Stop it.
2190. Kind of a magic number right there. 2190. We're going to be.
We're hitting 3,000.
We're closing in on. What? 2190? We're closing in on 3,000.
Yeah. Just around the corner.
Just around the corner.
The way we do it, yeah. It's.
Well, it's
only you and I are about the same age.
Yeah, that's true.
Only a matter of time. Yeah, I did kind of screw that up. 2190. And then comes 2200, right? Not 3,000. Yeah, it's close enough. We'll get there. We'll get there,
so
Michael.
So pocket passers can't carry a team.
Mm-mm.
Hmm. Okay.
Brady's awful. How many Super Bowls do you have? Only 7? He's been to 9 and he only has 7 Super Bowls? Oh, he's been to 10? And how many does he have? He's been to 10 and he only has 7 Super Bowls. What happened on the other 3? Choker. Couldn't carry your team. Can't hold your mud, Brady.
You can't hold your mud. You're a bleeder.
Yeah, by the way, one of those Super Bowls that he lost. You know he lost to? Nick Foles.
Yeah, third rounder.
Nick Foles, who is a statue.
Yeah.
Nick Foles, who in the...
And 2 Eli Manning Super Bowl losses, who is a statue.
Is a statue.
All NFC East teams beat him in the Super Bowl. What do you think about that? Down 28-3 in a Super Bowl.
I was going back to look at that Eagles Super Bowl win.
He had 500 yards passing
Nick
in that,
Foles,
by the way.
Brady did. Yeah, Brady was 28-48 for 505 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Terrible.
He was sacked once. Nick Foles, same Super Bowl. 28-43, 373 yards, 3 touchdowns. Was not sacked. So, to the idea that, well, yeah, you know, you can get one of these guys, but you're going to have to protect them. Okay. Here's what happens if you can get a good enough offensive line to protect 2 statues. They'll give you a Super Bowl where it's 41-33. The 2 of them combine for 878 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, and 1 sack.
Boring.
Boring. God, give me somebody who can run.
Yeah, by the way, protection.
Skim.
Protection, for all you skim milk people. Protection has so much more to do with the way your O coordinator calls plays than it does the 5 guys you have up front. 5 guys are really important, but the guy calling plays better know what he's doing. Otherwise, those 5 guys are going to fail, regardless how good they are.
John Clayton, boy, he has been on top of this Broncos offseason
from the start. Now that we're here to this most important of days, what is his gut feeling as to what George Payton does tonight? We'll talk to the professor. John Clayton joins us coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Boy, John Clayton has been on top of things from the start of this Broncos offseason. So very fascinated to hear what he has to say about tonight. John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer from DenverFan.com, presented by Flesh and Beck Law, injury attorneys. Morning, John.
Good morning.
All right, John, how does this trade for Teddy Bridgewater affect tonight's draft for the Denver Broncos?
A lot, because there's so much more flexibility of what they may do. I mean, it's still not out of the question, knowing that Bridgewater, you know, basically redid his contract, took a pay cut, and now is on a one-year $4.7 million deal with Carolina, getting $7 million, or with Denver getting $7 million from the Carolina Panthers. But I mean, they could still, because he's a free agent next year, and they could still take a quarterback. I think one of the crazy things I could see happen is that you now have kind of a double trade up, because you know Washington and Chicago want a quarterback. Okay, so now what they could do is work out a trade with New England, and then if you have whatever team does a Chicago or Washington trade up with Denver, Denver can come back and maybe get a cornerback or get an offensive lineman and then get some value for it. They can also sit there at number nine and take Micah Parsons, who would be a great addition at linebacker. I mean, I still wonder about a cornerback like Patrick Surtain, but I mean, their options, I think, are varied, and they can do a lot of different things.
Do those options include still taking a quarterback at number nine?
It does, yeah. I mean, they still could, because again, there's no quarterback right now that unless Locke comes on and Bridgewater does some great things, that's there for them to do it. So it's still, but I still think this is a team that wants to win now. And, you know, according to Pro Football Focus, they're the sixth most talented roster in football. I don't know if that may be a little bit high, but that's what they have them. And now you have a quarterback who's, you know, might end up getting the starting job, who may play better than Drew Locke. Because I know Pro Football Focus had Locke as one of the worst five quarterbacks in the league. And so, now this team, you know, could be in a position to make a wild card run.
You know, Johnny, you've been covering this draft for, Lord, I don't know how many years you've been covering this draft, yeah, but for a long time. What does your gut tell you that the Broncos will do? What does your gut tell you that George Payton will do based upon his history in Minnesota and all that he's done as a scout?
Well, I mean, his history working with Rick Spielman is, you know, trying to maneuver around. But also, I think he's done such a good job of piecing everything together, getting the cornerback position all taken care of. They're solid enough on the offensive line. I still think, that trade back possibility kind of intrigues me with him. But I think if not, you just take the best player available, whether it's Micah Parsons or you take Patrick Surtain, because again, this defense is going to be really good next year. And now you add a good young player to the mix. And so now all of a sudden, I mean, you have Von Miller, you have Bradley Chubb, you have in the middle kind of running around making plays, Micah Parsons. I think that could be a possibility. And then again, whether you take Slater at the tackle position, that could be a possibility too. But, you know, I think it makes more intrigue of what they might do and more question marks on what they might do. But I think, you know, in the end, I thought that Bridgewater was the option as opposed to trading up to seven, giving up maybe a second round pick or a third round pick to do that.
Got feeling as to what San Francisco does at three?
Mac Jones.
Really?
Because that's what Kyle Shanahan wants. I mean, he wants a quarterback who's smart, accurate, has the ability to go ahead and know the down and distance situations. And under the personnel office wants Trey Lance, or even Justin Fields. But I think right now, you got Kyle Shanahan, and he's the one making that decision. And you got his best friend, Chris Sims, from the very beginning saying that, hey, it's going to be taking Mac Jones. So I think it's going to be Mac Jones.
So if it is Mac Jones, that I think really increases the likelihood that a Justin Fields would be available at number nine. Now,
yeah,
Do you sit there and could George Payton resist that? Because do you think a first time GM, even someone who's been around the game as long as George Payton has, is that a temptation that is maybe too hard to pass up? The idea of, hey, I'm a first time GM and this is a chance to get my young quarterback. I can't pass on that.
Yeah, I think there's a chance of that because I wouldn't trade up from 9 to 7 now that they got the Bridgewater deal done, because now you're taking away too much from your draft, but because you do want young players to come on this team. But no, I think that you have to kind of weigh it. It's like, okay, do you want something that can help you this year? Because, you know, when you think about it, okay, Micah Parsons can help this year because he can go in the middle, play inside linebacker. I mean, if you take an offensive lineman like Slater, you know, is he really going to play this year? Because you still have Juwan James and you have pretty much most of your starters taken care of. So do you want to do that? I mean, that's why. But again, you know, Fields may be too good of a player to pass on.
Yeah, really interesting. Really interesting, you know, dynamics and machinations, if you will. What about the fact that, you know, Carolina has not picked up, they have not picked up the fifth-year option on Sam Darnold? Like, how much are they in play for a quarterback right now, and how does that affect the Broncos, you know, draft position at 9?
Now, I don't think they're taking a quarterback because, again, they have the option of being able to go back and give a second year, I mean, the fifth year option to Sam Darnold. I mean, remember, they gave up, it was only a sixth round pick this year, but a 2 and a 4 next year to be able to get him. Now, I know that the owner is enamored by getting as much quarterback things as you can, but, you know, they also need some help for this year. That's why, like, they don't have a left tackle. Russell Okung is not re-signed, and so they could take Slater, put him at left tackle. You know, they can take Sertan at quarterback. I mean, they can do all those different things. But for me, the fact that they made the Sam Darnold trade and now finally have the trade done with Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, I think that takes them out of the quarterback mix. But it also puts them in a position, too, if team wants to trade up, they can trade that pick and move down.
Real quick, you mentioned those teams that might be looking to move up. And New England at 15, Washington at 19, Chicago at 20. Based on what the asking price was for San Francisco to move up, do you think that will embolden teams to pay that kind of price, or will it scare teams away from paying the price to move up from 20, 19, 15 to 9 or higher?
Well, if you want a quarterback, I don't think it'll scare the teams because they want to try to get it. I think the teams that would be scared is those drafting in the top 10 that might consider trading down. I mean, trading down from 8, 9 to 15 isn't that bad, particularly knowing that Scott McKittrick, the Carolina Panthers, said they only have 16 first-round grades. What you don't want to move is out of the top 10 down to 19 or 20, because now what you're basically getting is a second-round pick. And so that's why, you know, for a team like Chicago or Washington, they may have to do a double trade-up to get there, because 15 you don't mind, 19 and 20 you do mind.
Last one for me, real quick. And then, Mark, I know you want to jump
good.
In. New England. New England fascinates me because all this talk of the Patriots moving up, it doesn't seem like the Bill Belichick type move. You know, I mean, this is a guy who built a 20-year dynasty on a 6th-round pick, and along the way he found Jimmy Garoppolo in the 2nd-round pick. It doesn't seem like a Belichick type move, does it to you?
Well, he's never done it. I mean, he's never really moved up. He's moved back. That's why I think there's more of a possibility of him moving back, particularly if he can get something done with Washington and Chicago maybe moving up to Denver or Carolina, because, you know, he can get that extra. Because remember, they did have that for cheating. They got that third round pick that they lost. And so, you know, they still have enough in the 2nd round and 3rd round to do some things. But I don't think they would mind getting an extra 2nd round pick, because, again, what they can do is use a 2nd round, 3rd round pick and maybe get Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
Yeah, at the end of the day, before we let you go, Jimmy Garoppolo, is he a San Francisco 49er after today?
I think maybe it's going to be more of a Friday move, because, again, I think that what you have to see is what you can do in the 1st round for the Patriots. I mean, can you get that trade back? And so that's going to be the case, and that would put it more tomorrow than it would be today.
All right. Johnny, man, we appreciate you. Enjoy the draft. Thank you so much for all the insight.
Okay, thanks.
There he goes, John Clayton. Not our smoothest transition.
But you got the point.
You got the point.
You got the point.
104.3 The Fan, senior Broncos writer.
Froze up.
John Clayton, presented by Flesh and Beck Law, injury attorneys. And you can read John's latest on the Broncos every day at denverfan.com. he really seems to believe that the Broncos are a strong trade back candidate.
I thought it was really interesting. You look at Washington and you look at Chicago at 19 and 20. So trade with New England, move up to 15, then trade with Carolina, trade with
Denver,
whoever, move up and get yourself a quarterback. Because come on, I mean, like Andy Dalton's, I like Andy Dalton a lot. What are the odds that Andy Dalton's your long-term solution in Chicago? Not good, right? Could you trade up to 7 if Trey Lance doesn't go? Could you trade up to 7 and get Trey Lance if you do a multiple trade up, like, and have that opportunity?
Daniel Snyder, never know. You never know. Boy, you want to talk about my man D-Mac's theory of, hey, keep swinging.
Mm-hmm.
Miss out, keep swinging. You got to keep doing it. Yeah, yeah, well, let the Washington football team be a cautionary tale. Keep swinging. RG3,
yeah.
Didn't work.
The
keep swinging.
Hey.
Dwayne Haskins. Didn't work.
The
Keep
last
swinging.
Time they won a world championship, I was on their team. Wow.
Coincidence? I think not.
Good point.
Good point also brought up here real quick. Bill Belichick
Bargie
just went outside.
About the same age.
Belichick just went outside the box in the offseason. He's on the hot seat. Don't put anything past him. He's not on the hot seat. No. But you are right. Texter is right about this. There is clearly, he was embarrassed by how Tom Brady moved on so effortlessly and went and won in Tampa.
Yeah.
And the Patriots went 7-9. And look at what he did in free agency. I mean, he went crazy. I mean, this is, you know, New England was always a franchise that used to laugh at the teams that went crazy in
Day 1. They certainly won free agency.
Right. And that usually doesn't go that far when it comes to actually what ends up happening with the success. So you're right. I mean, he's already acting un-Belichickian. Bill, are you going to continue to act abnormal with the draft?
Great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
We'll find out. We are fixing to find out. All right, final thoughts. We'll get to some texts, our final predictions for what the Broncos do tonight coming up next. For our draft coverage. It's going to be so much fun.
It is going to be. You know what? I'm actually looking forward to it. I was kind of, you know, when the draft season comes around, I always go, oh, gosh, here we go. But I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be exciting.
Well, it really, truly is. I can't think of a recent draft where there was so much intrigue at the top.
Right.
The draft truly does start at number 3, and no one really seems to have a clear, although John Clayton, that was interesting. John Clayton did not hesitate at all. He was emphatic. I hadn't even gotten the question fully out of my mouth, and he said Mac Jones to San Francisco at 3.
Right.
So if you are a Bronco fan rooting for them to come away with a quarterback tonight, I think you got to be rooting for Mac Jones to go 3.
I agree. Because if it's one of the other two, if it's Fields or if it's Lance, somebody is coming up to 6, to 5, to 4, to whatever
to get
to grab
one.
The other one.
And I think San Francisco's the only team that would take Mac Jones in the top 10.
Chris Sims' mock draft, who has them taking Mac Jones, has Justin Fields slipping into the 30s.
Yes.
So I'm with you, though. I think that if they take Lance or if they take Fields, then there's no way you're getting a quarterback.
Unless you move up and give up the capital to move up.
I'm just saying there's no way they're getting a quarterback because I don't think that's in George Payton's DNA.
I don't either. I think the only way you come away with the quarterback is if you're sitting there at 9 and.
And Fields falls.
And
to
Fields
you.
Falls. Or Lance.
Yeah.
Could you see Fields going after? I mean, if Lance is there too, yeah, I could easily see that.
I just think there are so many people that love potential that there's no way Lance is slipping tonight.
Again, I agree with you 100%.
You beat like 100%. NFL teams just can't.
They can't help
they
themselves.
They can't help themselves. No. You're like, but what if?
Yep. You're
you
right.
Know?
You're
what
right.
if?
You're right. Which is why I think the really only viable option for them to come away with the quarterback is Fields. And you and I are different in this regard. I've already kind of mentally gone there. I've already kind of talked myself into Fields.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I wouldn't hate it if they picked Fields.
I wouldn't hate. No, I would.
I like Fields. I like his story. I
do too. I'm like, here's the thing. If they take Fields, I will support that pick and I'll be excited about that pick.
Absolutely. You know, people, I don't endorse picking a quarterback, but I promise you, if they pick Justin Fields or if they take a quarterback, my first comments will be, look, it wouldn't be my pick, but now that he's a Bronco, all aboard. Let's go. I'm not going to root for him to fail.
No. My problem is this.
End up getting a tattoo if you do that.
Right. My problem is this, is that don't tell me I just hope one falls to us. Anyone will do. I don't have any issue at all taking a quarterback in the top five, top 10, whatever, if he's your guy. If you look at him and say, man, I'm going to move heaven and earth to get that guy because I believe in this guy. I've always said this about.
Don't say that though, Mark. Every failed quarterback, and it's a 75% failure rate of quarterbacks taken in the top 10 over the last 20 years. That's just a fact. Every quarterback who was drafted, they came out and said they love this guy.
Well, they'll say that, but I'm saying, in all honesty, not just, hey, somebody failed to us, or hey, like the 2018 draft, we like all five of them. Right. Anyone will do. That is, if that's your draft philosophy, that's how teams like the Jets are picking in the top 10. That's how Jacksonville, in the last 10 years, I think has 7 top 10 picks. That's why. Because any guy will, every guy is great. Every guy fits. That's such baloney. One of the things I always try to do this just like raising kids, right? Just being a parent, and you'll relate to this if you're driving around. You'll relate to this. Man, the best thing you can do is tell your kid and show your kid that you believe in him or her. And so, if you're drafting a guy, if you believe in that guy and you go get that guy and you support that guy and you put him in a position to win, i.e. Josh Allen for Buffalo. Like, good things eventually will happen to you. But when you're not sure and you just willy-nilly, and then you're not willing to, you don't have that same commitment.
Well, if as long as they feel that way internally, because you know what will be said.
Well, sure.
Publicly.
Yeah,
they could,
if they
end up with Justin Fields, here's, right? Am I right when I predict this? If they end up with Justin Fields and he's the fifth quarterback off the board, George Payton will come out and say, we are ecstatic.
Yeah.
He was our number two quarterback on the board, because I don't think he'll be audacious enough to say they had him number one, but he'll come out and say
he was the number one on our board because we already taken
right.
We already took
Trevor Lawrence off.
Right.
Other than Trevor Lawrence, he was number one on our board.
He was the number one quarterback. Yeah.
That's what they'll say.
Of course they will.
Okay. They all say that.
Right.
But your question is, do they really believe that?
Right. And that's the thing. If you don't really believe it, then you take a player that is the number one guy on your board.
All right.
And that's how you, and when you draft that way, Mike, and you come out and you lie to yourself, I forget about lying to the fans. That doesn't matter to me. When you lie to yourself.
Gee, I'm glad you're looking out for the fans.
Yeah. But when you're lying to yourself, that's how your organization spends, a decade in the doldrums.
It's time for our fearless predictions.
Prediction? Yes, prediction.
Hey, woman.
Okay, what happens tonight?
I'm going to say that they find a partner and they move back ever so slightly, maybe to 15, and they pick up an extra draft pick. I don't know what round you get in that third, maybe fourth, whatever it is, but they pick up, they secure another pick. For the one they gave up for Teddy Bridgewater.
Oof. That will not go over well. And they pick best player available.
Yeah, they pick either the tackle or a corner.
Okay.
One of the two corners or the tackle.
Okay.
Or if they move back and Parsons is still there,
right.
They take him.
Right. Okay. My prediction is, like I said, I've already talked myself into it. I'm mentally there. I'm prepared myself for it. They get Justin Fields. Mac Jones goes to San Francisco at 3. Lance goes, and then Fields drops to 9. And Wow.
George Payton can't help himself.
Benny, can you get for the draft tonight and just give it to Richie? Can you get the line from Step Brothers, we just become best friends? Because Mike and D-Mac will have become, they'll become
friends. Whoa. There's a difference between wanting that pick and what I think will be the pick. Okay? Do I want to draft the quarterback? Nope.
You guys will be practicing karate in the garage.
Do I think that if he's there at 9?
Chewbacca masks.
Do I think if he's there at 9, they take him? I don't think George Payton will be able to pass up the temptation. Right. I just don't. I hope he's made of sterner stuff than that. Because I love your scenario. I love the idea of trading back. But if he's there at number 9, I don't think that George Payton will be able to resist the temptation, and he'll take him.
All right.
Mark and I will be on at 6:30. So we'll be joining the drive when the Broncos make the pick. So we look forward to that. Tune in. Nobody covers the draft better than all of us here at The Fan. And we hand it off to Sandy in Orlando next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.